Welcome to the Motor City Sports Rundown. I am your host, and I'm here with my co-host to break down another massive week in Detroit sports. Man, the NBA playoffs are officially a grind, aren't they?
They absolutely are. The Pistons finally hit a significant speed bump against Cleveland in the Eastern Conference semifinals, and it has got everybody in Detroit playing armchair coach today. It is tense out there.
Exactly. We will be diving deep into those late-game rotations today, specifically looking at Ausar Thompson and the raging debate over whether he needs to be on the floor when the clock is ticking down in crunch time.
Plus, we are shifting gears to the gridiron later in the show. We've got a fresh tape study on Lions rookie cornerback Keith Abney II. There is a lot to like about his game, but also a few penalty flags to worry about as he transitions to the pro level.
We will get into all of it, breaking down the film and the stats, but let's start with the hardwood and that frustrating Game 3. Let's get right into it. The Detroit Pistons dropped Game 3 to the Cleveland Cavaliers, 116-109 on Saturday. And while there was plenty of blame to go around after a loss like that, one of the biggest talking points coming out of this matchup is the late-game rotation, specifically regarding Ausar Thompson.
Right. And after the game, Thompson himself was pretty blunt with the media. He pointed directly at turnovers and defensive communication as the primary reasons for that late-game collapse. But the larger conversation, the one taking over sports talk radio right now, is whether Thompson needs to be on the floor in those crucial closing minutes given his offensive limitations.
It is a fascinating dilemma for head coach J.B. Bickerstaff. On one hand, you are looking at a guy who was the 2026 NBA steals leader. He finished third in Defensive Player of the Year voting. His defensive impact is completely undeniable. When you need a stop, he is the guy you want out there.
It really is undeniable. In fact, if you look at what he is doing in this postseason, it is borderline historic. Thompson just became the third fastest player in NBA history to reach 150 points, 25 steals, and 20 blocks in the playoffs. You do not just bench that kind of elite, disruptive production lightly. But that is the counterargument, right? His offensive game, particularly in the half court when the game slows down in the clutch, can be a liability. Critics argue that having him out there allows the Cavaliers to sag off him and clog the passing lanes for Cade Cunningham, which directly contributes to the turnovers Thompson was talking about.
Exactly. The Pistons are the number one seed. They won 60 games in the regular season, but the playoffs are an entirely different beast. When the court shrinks and Cleveland amps up the defensive pressure, playing 4-on-5 offensively is a massive hurdle. You saw the offense stagnate late in Game 3 because the spacing was just completely compromised.
So what is the solution here? Do you prioritize the defensive stop, trusting Thompson to blow up a Cleveland possession and maybe generate a transition bucket? Or do you prioritize floor spacing? Because if he's not out there, the Pistons' perimeter defense takes a very noticeable hit against Cleveland guards. I think Bickerstaff has to trust the identity that got them 60 wins. Thompson is their defensive anchor. Yes, his shooting is inconsistent, but his ability to create transition opportunities off steals is elite. You have to find creative ways to use him as a screener or cutter in the half court, rather than just sticking him in the corner and hoping his defender stays attached. That is a very fair point. It really comes down to execution. The young core's lack of deep postseason experience showed in the final minutes of Game 3. If they can clean up the communication issues Thompson mentioned, his defense might just be the edge they need to close out tight games moving forward.
All right, let's pivot from the hardwood to the gridiron. The Detroit Lions 2026 draft class is still generating a ton of buzz. And today we are looking at a fascinating tape study from the Detroit Football Network on fifth-round pick Keith Abney III.
This might honestly be my favorite pick of the draft, just based on his background alone. Abney was taken 157th overall out of Arizona State, and he brings a very unique resume to the Lions secondary. But before we get to the fun stuff, let's look at the raw numbers he put up in college.
The numbers are absolutely stellar. In 2025, Abney allowed just a 44.4% completion rate when targeted. Opposing quarterbacks had a miserable 46.1 passer rating against him.
And the craziest stat from that tape study? 0 touchdowns allowed on 72 targets.
0 touchdowns on 72 targets in a major college conference is absurd production. So why did a guy with those numbers fall all the way to the 5th round? Well, he is undersized. He measures in at 5'10", which immediately limits his ability to match up against the bigger, more physical outside receivers in the NFL.
True, but what he lacks in height, he makes up for in pure athleticism and body control. And here is where that unique background comes in. Abney was actually a national champion inline skater as a youth.
I love that detail so much. And the tape study points out how that directly translates to his football mechanics. The hip flexion, the balance, the endurance required for competitive inline skating, it all shows up in his back pedal and his ability to mirror receivers seamlessly. It is incredible how those non-traditional sports backgrounds often create elite movement skills on the football field. However, there is a glaring red flag on his tape that we have to talk about. Abney was flagged for 13 penalties over his final 2 seasons at Arizona State. Yeah, that aggressive physical style is definitely a double-edged sword. He plays much bigger than his size, but he gets grabby at the top of the route. In the NFL, with how tightly defensive holding and pass interference are called, he is going to get targeted by savvy veteran receivers who know exactly how to draw those flags. The Lions desperately need help in the secondary, though. They ranked 20th in passing yards allowed per game last season. So the real question is, how quickly can Abney realistically contribute to Aaron Glenn's defense? I think his most realistic path to playing time as a rookie is in the slot. He is going to be competing directly for that nickel cornerback role. But it is a crowded room now. You've got Roger McCreary and Ennis Rakestraw Jr. already battling for snaps in that exact same spot. It is going to be a highly intense training camp battle to watch. If Abney can refine his technique and cut down on the penalties without losing that aggressive edge, he could end up being a massive steal in the 5th round for Brad Holmes.
All right, we have got a little bit of time left on the clock, so let's hit a few more stories real quick before we get out of here.
Sounds good. Let's dive right into the roundup.
First up, keeping with the Pistons, the team is heavily emphasizing a war mentality after that frustrating Game 3 loss to Cleveland.
Yeah, the turning point was definitely late in the 4th quarter. It was tied at 104 when Cade Cunningham threw an inbounds pass to Danis Jenkins that got intercepted by Max Strus. Just a brutal, self-inflicted error at the worst possible time.
Exactly. The team says they are vowing to learn from those mistakes, but as the number one seed, the pressure is entirely on them to clean up the execution in Game 4.
Moving over to the Lions, general manager Brad Holmes had some incredibly high praise for their first-round pick, offensive tackle Blake Miller.
High praise is an understatement. Holmes literally called Miller a sicko because of his intense work ethic. The guy started 54 consecutive games at Clemson and set a school record with over 3,700 offensive snaps.
That kind of durability is exactly what Detroit needs on the offensive line. He rarely missed practice and apparently felt like he was letting the team down if he even took a rep off. That Iron Man mentality fits Dan Campbell's culture perfectly.
That is going to do it for today's episode of the Motor City Sports Rundown.
Make sure you are subscribed wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. And leave us a rating if you enjoyed the show.
We will be back next time to see if the Pistons can bounce back in Game 4 and take control of this series. Until then, thanks for listening.